This is a podcast from ABC Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn. On ABC Radio, it is time for our weekly look at the world of health and fitness with Professor Gordon Lynch from the University of Melbourne. Gordon, welcome to Overnights.
Thank you very much, Rod. Good to be here.
Now, Gordon, there are many reasons given for somebody to suffer a heart attack. It could be stress, could be heart disease causing it. And then there are other heart attacks apparently brought on when you get angry. And quite often you would see that in a movie or a TV show, that somebody is shouting or screaming at someone and then all of a sudden they clutch their heart and they drop to the ground and they've suffered a heart attack. I wondered how much of that was just, you know, dramatic license, but you're saying that it's quite possible that there is a link between anger and hostility and a heart attack.
I am, and I'm basing it upon what we've known for quite some time, because this is important because we know heart disease is still the leading cause of death and disability in many developed countries, and we talk a lot on this show as well about physical risk factors, you know, whether someone's overweight or obese, whether they're not active enough, if they're living a sedentary sort of life, if they're smokers, if they have diabetes, if they have high blood pressure, all of those things that clinicians can monitor and say. But I think the emotional side of it are sort of rarely addressed. But we know this notion of hostility, and you know, that's a very negative sort of psychological trait, and it has, you know, the physiological responses, so how you get when you get angry and how the body reacts to that. But it has the way that you think, the way that you behave. All of these things become part of that sort of syndrome. And, you know, if you think of someone who's, you know, cynical or antagonistic, or if they have a resentful attitude towards others, if they have interactions which are laced with sarcasm, or if they have an irritable personality, or they're impatient, or they're very negative, all of those sorts of traits have been linked with cardiovascular disease since the 1950s. And we know that, you know, we know that if someone has this persistent anger, it can lead to health problems. And the longer these emotions last, the more likely they're going to affect your defense system, your immune defenses, you know, their cardiovascular health. You know, if you're angry for an extended period, it increases adrenaline levels, and that increases blood pressure and heart rate. All of those things aren't going to be helpful towards a syndrome of cardiovascular disease. Studies have shown that young men who react to stress with anger have 3 times the normal risk of developing heart disease. And men, so there's sort of a bit of a testosterone fuel thing here, men who are consistently hostile towards other people or prone to explosive anger, they're more likely to develop irregular heart rhythms and die. And I think those are the sorts of things, if we can control them, you know, the idea of how we can cope with these feelings of anger and reduce that as a risk factor deserves attention. And that's why I wanted to focus on that this morning.
Now, we know that I think women are more likely to have heart disease than men. So you've talked mostly about men there. What about women getting angry?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly that's going to be a factor, but different aspects will contribute to risk. And so with men, tend towards men, and even the study that I'll talk about this morning was biased towards men in terms of their sampling, that it tended to be more of an anger fuel thing associated with men's behavior. It's not to say that women don't get angry, but how those behavioural issues, and it becomes then a longer term, because we've got this excessive level of these hormones that are persisting, which maybe increasing the heart rate over time, increasing the blood pressure. We know that if we have high blood pressure over time, that's going to have negative effects on our circulatory system, which, of course, if we get a blockage in that system, it's going to lead to a heart attack. And I think, you know, if we can think about ways in which we can control the anger, and there's not necessarily easy things to do, but clearly there is a link here between these behavioural factors and the risk for cardiovascular disease.
Has this been studied in the past? Were these anecdotal stories and now we have a study that confirms them, or was this looked at in the past?
No, it has been studied in the past, and I mentioned since the 1950s they've had this link, but there have been a number of studies that have shown that anger is a contributing factor, especially if you already have a heart attack. And that's really the message that we're getting from this latest research, and it's just come out in the European Journal of Cardiovascular Nursing. And the basic message was heart attack patients, so that patients already have had a heart attack, those patients who are sarcastic or irritable could be putting their health at risk. So it comes under this hostility sort of personality. And we know that if we can take control of these lifestyle habits, it can improve the outlook for people who have had a heart attack. But this new study suggests that if we can improve these hostile behaviours, it could also be a positive move. Now, this was based on a study of around about nearly 2,300 heart attack survivors. And they measured hostility through this particular questionnaire, which is quite well regarded in terms of looking at all these different behavioural factors, and they get a particular score. And they followed these heart attack patients over the next 2 years, whether they had another heart attack or whether they died from another heart attack. They started the study, the average age was around about 67, and as I mentioned before about this bias towards men, nearly 70% of the population that they studied were men. And half of those patients, nearly actually a bit more than half, 60%, were scored as being hostile. That's a pretty large percentage of those people who already had a heart attack had that personality. And what they found was that hostility was an independent predictor of dying from a second heart attack. And they did all these adjustments, they do statistics to do all these things to take out certain factors into that equation. Whether they're male or female, their age, marital status, whether they had conditions like diabetes or high blood pressure, whether they were smokers and so on. But it came out that hostility was this independent predictor of dying from that second heart attack. And it showed, really, the researchers concluded that hostility was a common trait in heart attack survivors, and that was associated with a very poor outcome. And clearly, that they needed to look at ways, if we know that this is an independent assessment that's going to be identifying patients at risk of premature death, then if we can educate the patients on the potential impact of their hostility, that maybe that would be a way to motivate changes in behaviour that would reduce that risk. So I think it was a very interesting study. It builds upon that literature, which we go back, to the 1950s and so on, that have linked anger and hostility to risks of cardiovascular disease. But even in patients that already have had a heart attack, that if they didn't control that anger subsequent to that, they were really going to have an increased risk of having a second heart attack and potentially dying.
Gordon Lynch is our guest from the University of Melbourne, talking about how anger and hostility might trigger a heart attack. But if you have no other symptoms, if you've got no history of heart trouble, if you don't have heart disease, then in what way does anger or hostility trigger this heart attack? From what you've been saying, it is something that builds up. It's not something that just happens like that. It's a history of anger and hostility that might lead to it. We're not talking about one incident that gives you a heart attack. It's the end of a long history of that.
That's right. So we're talking about a behavioural trait. It's a psychological trait. So you've got that response when you're angry and how the body feels when you're angry, how you behave towards others when you're angry, how you're thinking when you're angry. This becomes not just a one-off, as you say. This is a consistent behavioural trait. And we know that if you're in that state for a longer period, if you have these frequent bursts of anger or hostility, that the body responds in a negative way. So, hormones are secreted, things like adrenaline, for example, which cause the heart rate to increase, which may change the blood pressure. And if that builds up over time, then you end up changing the body's physiology into something which is more susceptible to something going wrong. This extended periods where you're in this sort of phase. So the idea of having behavioural modifications is that potentially you can get the body back into a system where it's better able to react to stresses and so on, but also feeling that I think if you can control it, you can reduce your risk for an initial heart attack, for example, and what this study is showing for a subsequent heart attack for patients that have already had a heart event.
Sure, okay. So what you're saying is, really, in order to try and prevent this heart attack or this kind of heart attack, a cardiologist is not the person you need to see. You need to see perhaps a psychologist to take control of that overreaction or that emotional reaction that perhaps you have been experiencing, because there are some people that are much calmer than others. And some people react and overreact immediately to a situation, and they're the ones who are at risk from a heart attack in this regard.
It's also, you've got to be careful that you might have to let your anger out occasionally or channel it in different ways to get the body back into that. So, because you may be stewing underneath, and that also may have very deleterious consequences for the body's physiology as well. So we've got to get control of these emotions. So we know that this sustained aggression, it's not going to be good for cardiovascular health because of this, you know, increasing the susceptibility for these cardiovascular diseases. So, you know, what's the answer? Well, I think part of that, as you say, is a psychological response, but understanding how we can control anger, how we can perhaps express our anger in more socially acceptable ways, it may require seeking professional help and counselling to manage your temper, learning techniques that promote relaxation. We've talked about these before, breathing techniques that can calm the body, get you back into that calm state, meditation. We talked about that earlier this year, about different ways in which the body can respond favorably to regular meditation. It could be things like yoga that involve the breathing and these sorts of things that have a calming effect. So I think these things, what techniques are available? It may be that counseling is required in order to modify the behavior, because if we can do that over the longer term, remember this is a systemic thing, the body is responding to this bad change in hormones and other things which are going to have consequences on blood vessels and other things. Well, let's try and think about how we can control that, and those sorts of things will go some ways towards that.
Now, one of the other things that you suggest is that maybe you can work out your aggression, if that's a problem, through exercise rather than shouting at people, whether they be your family or perhaps, you know, road rage or perhaps people in the office or people at work. That, in fact, the way to work out your aggression is to exercise.
Yeah, there's a lot of anger out there, isn't there? And I say exercise can help. And you might say, well, that's predictable, he's going to say that. But it's been shown that if we can follow a healthy lifestyle, we can sort of buffer these bad effects of anger. You know, if you think of exercise as a sort of a steam valve, you know, a pressure release, it's sort of better to vent your frustrations if you're punching the heavy bag than taking it out on those around you. And I think these can be used in a very positive way. I'm thinking the sort of exercises I'm thinking of relate to improving cardiovascular fitness, aerobic fitness, heart and lungs, aerobic exercises. You know, we talk about a lot about walking. I think that's a great exercise for improving our aerobic fitness. So it could be riding a bike, or it could be swimming, or it could be on a rowing ergometer, or actually if you're able to row outside, then that's fantastic on the water. Those sorts of exercises are going to be very important for aerobic fitness. Resistance training can help too, and then studies have shown that you can get benefits from for cardiovascular health from resistance training as well. So a combination of different things, but always check with your doctor first before you embark upon a new exercise program, and always in consultation and supervision of your specialist and team, especially if you're a heart patient. You know, they're going to be recommending specific things for you. And what's the right exercise for that patient? So make sure that you always have those things checked away before you start embarking upon these things, and making sure that exercise is right for you. But I think exercise can help. The lifestyle messages that we talk about in terms of our nutrition, in terms of, you know, the foods we eat, if we can cut out smoking, if we can improve our sleeping habits, all these things contribute to maintaining better overall health, but also it may also, you know, mitigate some of these outbursts that we have, where we know that elevations in hormones and other things are going to, over the long term, make us more susceptible to cardiovascular disease. So the anger, controlling the anger, starts with the physical, but don't rule out that we've got the behavioural, the way that we think, our psychological factors are going to be very important as well.
So the take-home message is that we need to manage our emotions to make sure that we maintain good health. But as you pointed out, you can't bottle up those emotions. You've got to let them out somehow. Just don't let them out in an angry or hostile way. But if you do bottle them up, that causes all sorts of other health problems.
it's still going to have the effects on the body's physiology. So I think it's how we channel it, how we deal with it. And if we're going to be dealing with aggressive people. We're going to be dealing with aggressive situations. How we deal with that successfully. And I'm not saying it's necessarily an easy thing, and it can be quite a challenge. But if we can manage our emotions, it's important preserving relationships with those around us. That's a pretty important thing, because that's a major psychological factor. But ultimately, and really the message is that if we can manage our emotions, we can reduce our risk for cardiovascular diseases, especially in this case that we've discussed this morning about heart attack, especially if you've already had a heart attack. So a really important thing about managing emotions for relationships and health.
Okay. Gordon, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Rod.
Gordon Lynch, Health and Fitness. And that was another podcast from ABC Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn. Thanks for listening.